Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Hey, why do people burn frozen pizzas? I mean, think about this. It says preheat oven, put on middle rack for 14 to 16 minutes, and even tells you to check it. Take it off the cardboard, remove the plastic. It gives you every step. Yet people will burn frozen pizzas all the time. I ask you this question in the context of our current life situation. We're in a pandemic. We have racial stress once again. Protests, divided minds and bodies. People who are angry in a world where people believe that they have to take a side. Even just saying that out loud, I'm afraid to offend someone who's listening. As a result of the times we are in, I want to have a conversation with you about a simple statement I learned many years ago and how I believe we are so overcomplicating everything that we are facing that we have failed to look at what is really going on. We're burning pizzas. As you know, I believe that we are all leaders and that a leader is anyone who has influence over another person. I also believe that the behavior of a leader is to charge into the storm like a buffalo in order to tackle whatever it is you are facing. Procrastination and wallowing in the pit of pessimism has no place in leadership. And you know what else doesn't have a place in leadership? These things. Opinionating on everything that's happening, admiring the problem, fixing blame, seeking excuses, desiring the status quo, preferring to operate in an emotional mode when addressing issues or justifying the results. Leaders lead, and they live by a simple credo. The problems that I am facing are my own responsibility. They're my responsibility to identify, to strategize, to solve, and maintain success for. Leaders don't pivot to the whims of the masses or the pressures from a loud person. They live by values. They take the long view, and they work with a restless and energized spirit to take on the challenges they are facing. With that in mind, I want to share with you the statement that keeps echoing around in my skull and why I don't understand why people burn frozen pizzas. And this is it. When there is a problem, there is a lack of process. It's so simple and elegant that it's frankly annoying. You see, the only reason you burn a frozen pizza is if you don't follow the process. And if you don't know how to make a frozen pizza, it's because you've never been introduced to the process. Basically, what it means is when something is wrong, we need to fix it. We need to identify the problem. We need to agree on the problem. We need to explore the problem. And we need to engage others in solving the problem. This week, as I continue to see people argue about police, black lives, walls, masks, COVID, and everything else that's dividing us, I keep thinking to myself that we need a process. So I did an exercise, and it leads me to two challenges I have for you. First, challenge is this: take a walk. And second, remove the word but from your dialogue and replace it with and. Now, before I challenge you into the two challenges, I have to share a few things with you. When I sit down and reflect upon what's going on, I move to process, and I use a tool I've talked about before, the 5-why tool. Simply taking a problem statement and drilling down by asking the question why 5 times or 3 times or 6 times until you get frustrated and you find the root cause. My problem statement this week was, why do we continue to lack tolerance for each other's faces and beliefs? I'm a history teacher and a historian by training. I can give you thousands of examples of ignorance in history. I can give you examples of tolerance and intolerance, and I can share research on creating the conditions for success in a community. But that would be boring, and I'd lose all of you who were trapped with history teachers back in the day that showed film strips and movies. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to break this down for you and show you the power of taking a walk. In August of 2001, I was a new middle school assistant principal, and I was passionate about cultural understanding. I was new to the community that I was working in and had come from a small rural and farming school system in Wisconsin. I had been fortunate enough to get a position in a school that was ethnically, religiously, and socioeconomically diverse. That is, of course, the students and their families. The staff, well, they were a lot like me. They were white and they grew up in middle-class conditions. The school had just been reassigned attendance boundaries and was going from serving the students from the more prosperous and affluent neighborhoods to the true diversity of that community. I have a special place in my heart for the underdog, and I kept hearing veteran staff talk about their fears of the new population. I approached the principal with an idea. Could I use an hour a month of our staff development to bring in speakers of diverse backgrounds so that we could learn and grow our knowledge of the lives of those we serve? I set up a first speaker, and she was a Muslim woman from Milwaukee. I had also arranged for African-American speakers, Hispanic speakers, Jewish speakers, Hmong speakers, Bosnian speakers, because we had a large population of kids who had been displaced because of the Baltic civil wars. I had created a schedule for the entire year. The Muslim woman was scheduled to speak in September, the African-American couple in October, and the Hmong speaker in November, and so on and so forth. Now, if you're paying attention to the dates, you'll remember that this was in 2001. And the Muslim speaker was scheduled for the end of September. Like many people, I can tell you exactly where I was when the towers were hit, as well as when the Pentagon was hit, and then when I learned a plane had been brought down in Pennsylvania. 2 weeks following September 11th, we were scheduled to have our speaker on Islamic culture and traditions. My gut told me this isn't going to go well. I need to cancel. But I brought it to the school leadership team, wisely, and they said, no, now is the best time to have her come and speak to us. Now remember, this was a time when Muslim and terrorist were being dangerously commingled in the news and many people's statements. So I was a little tense on the day she came to speak. Her presentation was beyond enlightening for us as she effortlessly compared their traditions to ours. And we sat in amazement at all of the different traditions and histories and all of the different ways their culture benefited us and them. We began to understand the pillars of their faith and we grew that day as a staff. We now had a better understanding of how to meet the needs of the students who were Muslim, and their faith and their tradition were something we understood because we had taken the time to learn and grow empathetic as well as break down some of our inherent ignorances. A week later, after this was all over, I received an invitation in the mail for my wife and I to attend a celebration to break fast with Muslims in Milwaukee to celebrate the end of Ramadan. Here is where the take a walk process for improvement began to prove itself to me. I was really nervous about going, mostly because I'm a white Catholic kid from a small town in Wisconsin and I had no idea what to expect. Even as a history teacher who had gone to a diverse college and taught about Ramadan, I was still nervous. But I needed to walk into this opportunity and trip over the truth of another culture. We went, it was amazing. And we were maybe 2 of 10 people in the room of over 100 that were not Muslim. My wife and I got an education. We were fed and we were enlightened. I left a new person and resolved to expose myself to all other things I did not understand. I went to synagogues. I went to cultural celebrations that I had never been exposed to. In Black communities, Mexican communities, Puerto Rican communities, Hmong communities, gay communities. And I took every chance I could to break down all of the weird cobwebs of ignorance that had filled my mind. And you know what I learned? The world is pretty amazing. The world has lots to offer me, and I have a lot to offer it. The conversations I had were amazing. Everywhere I went, I was over the top inquisitive. Why this? When did this happen? How do you? And so on and so on. As I explored all of these wonderful differences, I found one similarity. Neither of us knew much about each other. I kept hearing things like, we've never had a white person in our home before. We've never had a Christian in our temple. We've never had a person in a position of authority ask us how to help them. I realize as I say those things out loud that it sounds a little arrogant. However, please don't think that it is that way at all. I'm not saying that at all. I'm sharing it with you because it was so awesome for me. And it's exact opposite. I was so humbled because they wanted to know about my world, my traditions. And you know what I learned? We're both blind to an understanding of each other. I had assumed terribly that they knew about my culture and that they had had no interest in me. But what was created was a reciprocal opportunity for each of us to grow from the moment. I had so many biases, it was crazy. And most of them fueled by the media and TV shows and movies. And what I learned is that we all have problems, traditions. Our moms all make us feel guilty, fears about each other, and a genuine desire to be happy with our closest family and friends, and a need to just be safe and know what tomorrow will bring us. I was 30 years old when this had happened, and I had wasted a lot of my life trying to justify my world instead of understanding the entire world. And this leads me to where we are currently struggling as a society. How many miles have you walked with others who don't live in your neighborhood, practice faith in your way, look like you, or speak like you? Now, knowing my audience, I'm hoping many of you have. But even as I am speaking to you, I can think of so many ways I can grow in my ability to advocate for others, to understand, support, and love new people, especially those who are not around me. As a result of all this, let's talk about taking a walk. Now, I facilitate a certification program called Creating a Culture of Improvement. It is about growing in process, application of tools, change management, communications, and the 7 principles of improvement. Those principles are the ones I've developed collaboratively, but most importantly, I actually live by them. They're very simple to apply once you understand the tools to get you there, but in the simplest terms, these are the 7 principles. Number 1, know the problem. Number 2, one-size-fits-all strategies always fail. 3, see the system that creates the results. 4, measure your improvement. 5, anchor improvement through inquiry. Keep asking questions. 6, use the wisdom of the crowd. And 7, fix what's bothering you. It takes about 18 hours with me to get an understanding of the application of these processes, but I want to take 5 minutes here to introduce you to number 3. It is number 3 of the 7 that is my favorite. It is a process to address a problem, and it is so simple, it drives me crazy how easy it is. Number 3 is seeing the system that produces the current outcomes. And what that simply means is take a walk and go to the problem. So often when we are trying to improve things, we do it with a team in a room far away from the problem. We speculate. We use our inherent biases to cloud our judgment, and we actually make the problem worse. This principle simply means go and walk with the problem. Understand it by living it and adhere to a simple mindset. Explore and learn. This is a tool that can be applied in so many ways. Charlie, our son, for example, has a real problem with putting his clothes away. Megan and I went into his room to see what the problem was. We talked about it because, yes, I use all of these tools in our home, and we learned that he didn't like putting things away because he couldn't remember where they went, and frankly, he admitted he was a little lazy. Solution? Clear bins, new shelves in his closet that he could fill with his stuff in any order he wanted to. It's not even folded, and you know what? It doesn't matter because it works for him, and he meets the objectives of putting them away, and it's really not worth the fight. But what about bigger issues? Issues like racism and ignorance and poverty and justice. Same darn thing. We need to get out, and we need to go and see it, and we need to invite others into our worlds. One of my favorite books from the last 5 years is by the Heath brothers. It's called The Power of Moments. And they provide the research for a hunch I've always had. You can't learn how slimy a fish is from reading about it in a book. You actually need to hold a fish. In their book, they give us the formula to create a powerful moment. It's a 3-step recipe to help people trip over the truth. Number 1, create clear insight by going to it, seeing it, smelling it, talking about it, experiencing it. 2, do it in a short period of time. And 3, you have to have it on your own. You have to discover the problem by yourself. Now, what this does is, as they say in the book, it provides a blueprint that allows for people to see and experience an uncomfortable truth. As we sit back and watch TV and listen to podcasts, we're not experiencing what is happening. We're listening to it. We're making judgments. We're talking to other people about it. But if we went and saw it, if we went and spoke to people, if we visited their conditions, we would understand it through empathy. The uncomfortable truth that we are all living with right now is not complicated. We don't understand each other, so we can't empathize. And as a result, we make judgments based upon our own inherent biases. And we are unable to feel a true sense of peace within ourselves or with others. Now, I realize this is a really broad statement, and it does not apply to everyone. But when you break down what is happening, it's rooted in the simple fact that we don't understand each other, our backgrounds, our traditions, our struggles, and our realities. The answer to all this? We need to uncomfortably trip over the truth. We all have to break bread in each other's worlds. We need to talk to each other. We need to seek to understand, and we need to work to grow ourselves. And that's where it starts, because all problems I have begin with me. My heart breaks every time I see someone screaming at a protester or a police officer or a child. That is someone's daughter or son. That is someone who has hopes and dreams. That is someone who's anxious with bills to pay and a life and lives that depend on them. Why is that so hard to understand? Well, it boils down to a failure of leaders. First, individually, and second, organizationally. We need to create opportunities for those we serve to see the conditions that create the culture around us. We need to explore our own world, and it starts with us having the courage to invite others into our world. Oh, but Ted, I don't know any African Americans. I don't know any police officers. I don't know a Republican or a Democrat. Well, you know someone who does, and it takes your leadership in order to grow and gain insight, and you need to get to it. The principle of seeing the system that creates the conditions is not fulfilled because you made a sign or you watched a documentary. It happens when you take others on a journey of understanding. Invite diversity into your world and get invited into theirs. Invite others' mindsets into your mind and world and grow your purview of the world in which you live. Ignorance is fueled by two things, distance and defense. Distance between you and others and defense of your mindset. So many things we've been told by others is wrong. Now you need to go and explore in order to trip over the truth. The world is changing. There are people who are not like you, and there are people who are not going to like you. Get over it. Go learn about it. Embrace this complicated world and find a way as a leader to expose others to the uncomfortable truth that your way is not the only way. The challenge to take a walk is simple. Do one thing this week outside of your adopted cultural norms. Find one person to talk to, visit, eat with, discuss ideas with that are not in your group. Here are a few tips. Don't evaluate them. Investigate. Ask questions. Too often we step into these situations believing that we know more, have something to prove, and have to defend something. Don't defend. Shut up and listen. This can be done only if you apply the second idea, which is this. Replace the word but with and. Here's the deal. We all love to have discussions with other people. We like to share what we believe and what we think, yet we go about it all the wrong way. Sometime, when you're at the table with people you know, listen to how many times people have to counter each other with the word but. It is a term that assumes the other person is either wrong or not listening. It seems to me that we are always trying to convince others of our position. Here's how we do it. Yeah, but I hear. Well, no, wait, but they don't understand. Hold on a second, but you never seem to hear me. But that's just not true. But they don't respect. But they don't understand. But they are not appreciative. But they should comply. But assumes a lot. And you know what they say about people who assume. It makes a but out of you and me. Eliminate the term from your conversational vocabulary. It is a relevant term in many ways, for instance. Like, get your butt over here and help. And get off your butt and do something about it. Listen, we can't change the world with big macro legislation, a huge amount of money, or a series of sweeping changes if we don't first take a walk and grow and change ourselves. Many of you are listening from large cities and many from small towns and villages. No matter where you are, you're a leader. You matter. You make a difference, and you have the opportunity to change the world. So many of us are waiting for someone else to be the difference maker, and we're comfortable in our closed circles. However, at the end of the day, small changes in how we each behave, learn, accept, and grow are the only ways we're going to actually do something different. When I was a very little boy, a person from our school did a home visit. I would bet that she immediately knew everything about our house and our lives. She knew that Teddy's the oldest brother. He has a brother who is 2, and his mother is pregnant. That was me at the beginning of kindergarten. You think that teacher needed to see much more before empathizing with my mom who would have 3 boys under 5? I doubt it. What is your process for taking a walk, for tripping over the truth of the world around you, for investigating to grow, for eliminating the word but from your vocabulary? What will you do today that will seem small but will add up in the end? What will you do to increase the understanding of yourself and others? Empathy and taking a walk are game changers, and it is fueled by the experiences that inform us. Get out of your comfort zone and find people who will take you to places so that you can challenge your biases. The problem is simple. We each need to grow every single day. We cannot let one experience define others. We cannot let ourselves get caught in the pessimism that tempts us. We cannot give up on others. We cannot see the world as either or. The world is an and world. That is what we need to figure out. It's colorful and diverse. It's sad and happy. It's haves and have-nots. It's gay and straight. It's rough and smooth. It's filled with opportunities for improvement that can only be realized if we charge into the problems we face with a process and a buffalo mindset. So let's do some smart thinking. Identify the gaps in understanding that you have about other people, cultures, races, and ethnicities. List where you will go on your walk in order to close those gaps. How will you facilitate the opportunity for others to take a walk with you? And last, describe what you will do to stop the argument and include the perspectives of others in your own mindset. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please share this episode with others and rate us on your platform. If you are interested in learning more about the principles of improvement, well, just contact me. Also, thank you to the Well Pennies for the great music. Finally, this episode is about having the courage to confront what you don't know by going out into the world and seeing the conditions that are creating the results. It's very simple, actually, yet we find it so much easier to sit back and pontificate about the problems and what they are. We prefer to find ourselves in rooms of people that we're like, trying to argue about what word we need in a sentence, when instead we need to have the courage to see what the problem is. Buffalo leaders don't sit around and wonder what is on the other side of the storm. They go and find out. So this week, on the smallest of scales, go and see. Take a walk. Find someone to grow you. Fight your internal biases by inviting other people into your world or invite yourself into theirs. I'm going to end with my second favorite song. Yes, my second favorite song. It's a song that has three meanings per the songwriter, but one of them is that after he visited the United States in the 1960s and experienced and witnessed racial discrimination, Jim Crow laws, and violations of what he thought were simple and basic human rights, he wrote this song. The song has great meaning for me personally, and when I learned that Paul McCartney was inspired and saddened by his first life experiences in the United States, it made the song all that more meaningful to me. And here's what he said. He said, "This song was really a song from me to a black woman, experiencing these problems in the States. Let me encourage you to keep trying, to keep your faith. There is hope." You see, what we just did there? We took a little walk and learned something new about something we've probably all heard but never knew the context. Well, thanks for going on that walk with me, and you'll now listen to this song very differently for the rest of your life.
Singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the line of a dark black night. Dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to arise. You are only waiting for this moment to arise. You are only waiting for this moment to arise.